The BBC presents Guilty Party. A problem in crime detection in which you're invited to match your wits with a panel of experts, John Arlott, F.R. Buckley, and Robert Fabian. First of all, you'll hear the crime play, Poison in the Afternoon. The panel will then decide on a line of investigation and cross-examine the suspects, who give unscripted answers to their questions. But first of all, here is Joe McCready, private investigator.
These are the facts in the case of the death by poison of Mrs. Martha Slater in the Countryside Cafe one afternoon last summer. Inspector Galloway and I were finishing a very late lunch there, and as we lingered over our coffee, they all trooped into the cafe and took the table next to ours. There were four of them. Mr. Slater, a breezy life and soul of the party Welshman, his wife Martha, and their daughter and son-in-law, Monica and Jack Weston.
Earlier, they said you'd bring a look at it, didn't they?
Are we having late lunch or early high tea, then?
Oh, whatever it is, I'm ready for it.
Billy doesn't mind. We're regulars.
That's
right. Ladies,
service.
We're here again. Look, the
status
and the Westerns in full force.
Afternoon, all. Usual order.
Ah, this table will do. Take your seats, then. Who's for hammock?
Well, I never say no.
Do me.
Jack, how about you?
Oh, certainly fine.
All right, Billy. You've got to know this.
Four on eggs and chips. Bread and butter for four as usual.
A few pastries to follow.
And right away, the biggest pot of tea you ever saw. Four thirsty people.
In 2 minutes, Mr. Slater.
Good girl, good, good. Let's see, sugar, then, where is it?
None on the table. Have to wait till Lily comes back.
Damn, no, old Dobbin won't wait for his sugar. Into the cafe, he'll be through the front door and sharp if I don't take him his ration. Excuse me, sir.
Who, me?
Why, I wondered now if maybe you'd finished with your sugar basin by there.
Sure, help yourselves. We've no further use for it.
Thank you very much.
What a way to spend the way you pinch your sugar every week to give to Dobbin. I can't imagine.
Oh, she don't mind. Always tip handsome, don't we?
While you see to Dobbin, I'll just go along and wash my hands, David.
All right, wait. Oh, go on. Oh, no, Monica, not again.
It's your fault. Rush back on the farm to get away in time. I just don't have a minute. So, all right, while we're waiting for the food, I'll paint my nails. Who's going to worry?
Phew, can't stand that smell of teardrops. I like it. Always did ever since I was a kid. David, don't take all the sugar. Be reasonable.
Oh, I'm not doing anything of the sort.
There. Who else takes sugar anyway apart from you and old Dobbin?
Oh, get on with your hurry up. Lily will be here with the food in a minute.
Right, too. Shall be too, Tit. And don't you have all the sugar that's left, Martha? I always like to have a few lumps for Dobbin for after.
Oh, get off. Him and that horse. I can't see why you don't give up the pony and trap and go in for a car, Martha.
Oh, David, never do that. Horse mad he is. I often say, I'm sure if it came to the decision, they would keep the horse and get rid of me. That stuff does pong, don't it?
Won't take me long, but I do like to have my nails looking nice. After all, working up at the farm as we do, it's difficult to keep your hands decent.
Oh, I never worry. Who's going to be our hands, anyway?
You never know. Oh, hello, Jack. Better?
No tea, Roger.
No. Don't expect they're quite ready to start teas yet. We're never here at the right time. Always in between lunch and tea.
Oh, they don't mind. As long as they're selling food, that's what they're here for, whatever time it is. Ah, here she comes.
Sorry, I took a bit long. It's the hot water system. There's always something up with it. Now, sugar. Oh, you've got some.
Oh, those gentlemen on the next table kind of let us have theirs.
And I bet I know where Mr. Slater is right now. And half the sugar bowl with him.
Oh, here he is. Come on, David. Did old Dobbin say thank you, then?
Oh, most grateful he was. Told me he'd never forget my kindness.
Oh.
Ah, Lily's brought the cup that she has, but does not inebriate. Come along now. Now I'll be mother. Martha, sugar, what is it now, 5 lumps?
Oh, you know very well it is.
Heard about sugar daddies I have, but our Martha's a sugar mummy for sure.
Oh.
Monica doesn't take sugar.
And I've got Miss Saccharine tablets.
David Slater, did you just put those 5 sugar lumps into my cup with your fingers?
What do you expect me to use, my feet?
You can just take them out of my cup. The very idea.
Oh, now what did I do wrong?
You've been out and used those hands of yours to feed a horse with sugar. Then in you come and dish out sugar lumps with the same fingers. Disgusting.
Oh, all right, if you're fussy, I'll have that cup. I'm not afraid of getting foot and mouth disease from old Dobbin. But then I only want 1 lump. Oh, Dobbin can have the others. There. Now you satisfy.
Oh, go and wash your hands and hurry up about it. The food will be here in a second.
No peace at all. Don't wait for me. Now get started if
anything's
in the food.
Have a quick eat. Like a rotten pantomime, isn't it? Never saw such a fuss and palaver in my life.
And the next and chips for 4 coming up.
Oh, that's all right.
Didn't take very long, did it? Oh, what a funny smell. Lily?
No, it's mine. Mrs. Lily. Look at those fingernails of hers.
Oh, that's a pretty shade of pink. I like that sort of sheen on it. I just can't somehow get my nails to grow long enough. Perhaps it's because I bite them.
Ah, could be.
As fine as bad temper, they say. Nobody's ever thought of me as bad-tempered. Long-suffering Lil, they call me. Ah, here he comes, life and soul of the party himself.
Ah, lovely, lovely grub. I knew we should get it if we waited long enough, you know. I knew it.
Nobody ever gets served as quick as you do, Mr. Slater, and well, you know it.
Here you are, Martha. One copper.
There. I've as good as finished these nails of mine. I think they look nice.
They look a treat.
Except for that little finger. That smudged a bit.
Oh, yes. Better touch that up again. Very observant of you to notice, Jack.
Oh, this tea tastes a bit queer. Got a sort of...
Martha! Martha, whatever is wrong with you? Now, hold on to me. Careful, she's
going
to faint.
Martha, hold on. Oh, my God. See that coming on.
What a nice frock. Tea in my lap. Whatever went wrong.
Hey, Mr. Slater. She hasn't just fainted. Look, she isn't breathing.
Well, excuse me, I'm a police officer. Can I help?
Martha! Martha, come down! What's happened to her?
I'm afraid by the look of things she's had a heart attack or something. Joe, get a doctor, an ambulance, quickly.
Wait on, Inspector.
A waitress.
Yes, sir?
Put a clothes sign on the door for the next quarter of an hour or so.
Oh, yes, sir, of course.
What's happened, Monica?
What are you doing, Mr. Slater? And you, Mr. Weston?
Oh, I thought I'd start and clear up the mess a bit. Save Lily some work.
Don't touch the broken crockery, please.
You are not serious about Martha being... I mean, you don't mean she's going to die or anything?
I hate to say it, Mr. Slater, but I'm afraid your wife shows no sign of life. Something happened very quickly. Very quickly. The doctor will soon tell us.
But there was no warning, no sign. Jack! Monica, what's happened? What did she do?
Look after him, Jack. He's going to pass out in a minute.
Yeah, all right. Give us a hand to the toilet, Jack, man, will you? I feel sick. I feel like as if this was a sort of a bad dream. 1 minute, Martha's talking to us natural. The next minute, she's lying there.
Come on, baby, yeah. Doctor. All right. Now, we don't want a thing touched for the time being. If Lily will get the proprietor quick as she can, then we can sort things out with a minimum of fuss.
So there it was. Martha Slater was dead. Cause of death? Poisoning by potassium cyanide. As soon as Inspector Galloway knelt down to examine the poor woman, he could smell the characteristic bitter almond flavor of the poison. That's why he'd insisted on having nothing moved. The strange thing was, our sugar basin was the one that had been used. So, logically, that ruled out the sugar. Everybody had had the milk. Everybody had taken tea poured from the same pot. So... where had the poison come from? No one had begun to eat the food, so it couldn't have been in that. All the crocks and plates were strewn all over the floor. Two of the cups out of the four still had traces of potassium cyanide in the dregs that were left after the table turned over. One, obviously, was Martha Slater's. Whose was the other?
Weston, is Mr. Slater still in the lavatory?
Yeah. He was very sick. Shock, I suppose.
Perhaps you'd get him for me, Joe, while I have a word with Mr. and Mrs. Weston and the waitress.
Sure. You say the doctor says she was poisoned?
We shall know more about that after a more detailed examination has been made, Mr. Weston. Ah, here's Mr. Slater now. Now, Joe, if we can have a word or two with Lily, the waitress, first.
Yes. Why don't Slater?
Lily? This weekly visit of the Slaters and the Westons was quite a regular affair, apparently.
Oh, yes, every Wednesday, regular as clockwork. Always the same time, always the same food they ordered.
Always the smell of pear drops from Mrs. Weston's nail varnish?
Well, most weeks she left her nails till she was sitting down at the table. I think she did it principally to annoy poor Mrs. Slater.
But surely she was Mrs. Slater's daughter?
By her first husband, but they never got on, especially since Martha married David Slater. Monica Weston always felt that part of her father's money should have gone to her, not all to her mother.
I see. You got on well with Mr. Slater.
Oh, old days, always good for a laugh. We fun to be with, you know. And Martha, well, I shouldn't speak ill of the dead, but she didn't half lead him a dog's life. She'd got the money bag, see?
And our friend Jack Weston?
Oh, he's a scrounger. Hung on to Monica and married her because he thought there was money there. Mind you, he's fun at a party as well. But he's not a misery, just a waster, I'd say.
And the late Martha Slater controlled the purse strings.
And how?
Thank you, Lily. So far as the routine of their visit to the cafe was concerned, it all went according to the usual plan, did it? Nothing unusual?
Oh, no. Nothing at all. Except, well, the tragedy, of course.
Of course. Thank you, Lily. Let's have a word with Jack Weston, Joe, shall we?
Right. I'll get it.
Mr. Weston, were you four on good terms?
Why, yes. Martha nagged a bit. Kept David on a pretty short rein, but on the whole, we got along.
This business of feeding old Dobbin with sugar from the cafe, that usual?
Oh, yes. David and Dobbin. Whatever happened, Dobbin always had his sugar.
You don't take sugar in your own tea?
No, I'm a diabetic.
I see. And was your wife always adamant about not taking sugar?
For the past 3 months, she's avoided sugar and starchy foods.
She diabetic, too?
No, just overweight.
So only Martha Slater, David Slater, and the horse had sugar lumps from the sugar bowl, which Mr. Slater took from our table.
Yes. So how could any poison be introduced into Mrs. Slater's cup? I mean, where's the motive for killing Martha, anyway?
You all benefit financially, surely.
Oh, that. Yes, but it won't make any difference to our lives. The money's in the farm. We shall go on farming it just the same. Three of us instead of four. Nobody's going to risk hanging for that. Not me, anyway.
Was it always David Slater who fed Dobbin? Ever anyone else?
Always. It was a ritual. Every time we came here, it always pinched practically the old sugar basin full of lump sugar for the horse. Really, never mind it. He's got a soft spot for David Slater, anyway.
Did he normally carry sugar around with him for Dobbin?
Oh, no. No, we only use the horse and float occasionally on trips like this. I think you're barking right up the wrong tree, if you don't mind my saying so. Martha had a heart attack. Must have done.
Thank you for your opinion, Mr. Weston. Unfortunately, it conflicts with the official one. Now, could we see Mr. David Slater? Now, Mr. Slater, sorry to have to pester you with questions.
Look, now, Inspector, I know you've got your job to do, but you're not sitting there now and telling me my Martha died on account of foul play. That just doesn't happen around these parts. Very quiet people we are here. Respectable, too.
Mr. Slater, did you take a drink of your tea at all?
No. I was just about to have a sup of it, you see, when suddenly my Martha got up and clutched at her throat. Well, you saw her, didn't you?
You say you were just about to take a drink. Did you notice anything wrong with your tea?
No, can't say I did. Why?
Because we have a suspicion that your tea was poisoned as well as your wife's. What? But the table being overturned put paid to that.
You mean somebody might have put poison in my tea? But surely I'd have noticed.
Not if you didn't taste it.
No, I didn't taste it. Well, with Monica's stinking nail varnish around, you'd stand no chance of smelling it, would you? No. I'd have drunk my tea normal-like if it hadn't been for my Martha. But in any case, why would anybody want to kill Martha and me?
The farm, the money. You're both dead, somebody will inherit.
Oh, no. Jack and Monica always been the best of friends, all of us together. No, I can't think you're right. And couldn't be. Then again, how would the poison be administered? If you thought of that, then impossible it would be.
Only you and your wife had sugar.
Aye, that's true enough. But I put my own sugar in my cup, took it out of Martha's, because she took exception to my hands not being washed. She was always fastidious, mind. Very fastidious woman.
You're a great one for feeding Dobbin with sugar. How is it, I wonder, that Dobbin hasn't been poisoned? If the sugar in the bowl had been treated, what happened to the sugar Dobbin had?
There you are, then. Impossible, like I said. Maybe you made a mistake somewhere, Inspector.
Maybe. Where did your stepdaughter,
Monica?
Yes, where did she meet her husband, Jack Weston?
Oh, Jack, he was travelling round with a fair. Sideshows and that, you know, find the lady, the pea and the thimble trick, all that. But Monica persuaded him to pack all that in and join us on the farm.
Mr. Slater, you took a lot of sugar from the basin for your horse, and you even collected up the sugar lumps off the floor.
I did, yes, for Dobbin, but he didn't need knows, and never mind.
Got any left?
Why, I have plenty in my pocket.
Leave it all with us for analysis, will you?
Of course.
And please ask Monica Weston to step in.
Yes, he is. But I don't understand this. Nice God, seems impossible to me. Impossible, man.
Did Monica get on well with her mother?
I know. To be honest about that, they didn't get along, not as mother and daughter should. Oh, be fair, they didn't.
Thank you very much, Mr. Slater.
You're welcome, I'm sure. But it's a sorry business, whichever way you look at it. Sorry business and all. To happen here, of all places, quiet, respectable being.
Mrs. Weston, can you possibly conceive how your mother could have been poisoned this afternoon, right there under everybody's noses?
No, it couldn't have happened.
But it did.
It wasn't possible. Unless that Lily's in it somewhere.
Lily? What on earth could she have to do with it?
She's got a thing about David Slater, my stepfather. And at her age, she's only a kid. Disgusting, I call it.
Mrs. Weston, why do you always paint your nails in cafes? It isn't exactly normal, is it?
I like my nails looking like this. On Wednesdays, there's always this mad rush to get here. So I nearly always have to leave my nails. Same as today.
Have you ever heard of potassium cyanide?
Vaguely. Poison, isn't it?
A very deadly one. Know anything about it?
No. Nor where to get it if I wanted it. nor how to administer it when I'd got it.
Quite. One last question from me, Mrs. Weston. When David Slater fed the horse with sugar...
David and that damned horse. Why, we couldn't have a car.
Please. When he fed the horse, was he always made to go and wash his hands before he ate his meal?
Well, it's the usual thing, isn't it? If you've had a horse slobbering all over your hand while you give him sugar lumps, you don't usually start eating your food without washing, surely.
Thank you, Mrs. Weston. Just before you go...
Yes?
Now that Martha Slater's dead, who owns the farm?
The will splits the money and property between David Slater and me.
And Jack Weston?
She didn't approve of my Jack. He gets nothing. I'll look after him, though. Nobody needs to worry about Jack.
Thank you, Mrs. Weston. Well, Joe, we now know the sugar in David Slater's pocket was perfectly harmless. So what did happen?
Our three experts have heard the facts in the crime play Poison in the Afternoon. Now they have the right to ask questions of the people concerned. The completely unrehearsed questions will be answered without any script or help by the persons interrogated, and they must tell the truth, except in the case of the guilty party, who can and will try to get out of difficulty if he or she is able to. Over now to John Arlott.
Just for a moment, we'd like, if we might, to ask Ted Mason a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. Ted, is there any sign of Galloway or MacReady being poisoned?
No, they're perfectly fit. They'll be appearing again next week.
But did they think to take any fingernail pairings or anything from the suspects to see if any of them had handled cyanide?
No, they didn't.
Not very helpful this week, are they?
Not in that way, no.
Well, all right. Then perhaps we could speak first of all to Mrs. Weston. Buck?
Mrs. Weston, among all this confusion, can you remember, did you actually taste your tea?
Oh, no, I didn't. You see, I wanted my fingernails to dry thoroughly before I touched anything at all.
Hmm. Did you see anyone else apart from your mother taste it?
No, I didn't.
When David Slater said he would take your mother's cup, did he actually take it?
Yes. He took it and put it in front of himself and...
And what did he do with his own?
Oh, he put it in front of her, just changed into a cup
over. He switched the two cups
yes.
over.
Who eventually put the sugar in your mother's cup?
Well, I suppose Jack did, because he took over from the pouring out when David went off to wash his hands.
Hmm. And who poured the tea into your mother's cup?
Jack did.
Your husband
yes.
in both cases?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
One of your little fingers was smudged, wasn't
yes.
it? Which one?
The little finger on my right hand.
Are you right-handed?
Yes.
Right. Thank you. Now perhaps you'd send your husband in.
Certainly.
Sit down, Mr. Weston, if you will. How were the cups arranged when you poured the tea?
They were grouped together because David was going to be mother. He said something he always did say, I'll be mother, and started to pour, and then there was the business with the sugar, and off he went to wash his hands. And I took it over, and then I started it and poured Martha's.
Were the cups set out with the cups in the saucers?
Yes, yes,
Did each person more or less have a cup opposite them so that it would automatically go to them?
Yes. The two this side, obviously, were Monica's and mine, and the two the other side were Martha's and David's.
Who put the milk in the tea?
Milk? I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Was the milk put in before the sugar in Mrs. Slater's tea?
No, because the sugar was taken out again in the first place, you see. She didn't want that sugar because David had put it in with his horsey hands.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
The sugar was put in first. Now tell me, do you use cyanide of potassium on the farm for anything? For instance, for destroying wasp nests?
Yeah, we have used it for about 3 years.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what it smells like?
Yes. I've used it. I ought to.
What does it smell like?
Strong sort of bitter almond smell.
Now, did you drink your tea?
No, I didn't get a chance to.
You didn't do any of it at all?
Didn't get a chance to. I poured Martha's and gave hers first. And then all this happened sudden as soon as she...
Did you see anybody else drink any of the tea?
No, David was out washing his hands. Monica was waiting for her nails to dry and I was just pouring mine when it happened.
All right, good enough, Mr. Weston. Thank you. Now, David Slater.
Mr. Slater, what did you do with the lumps of sugar you took out of your wife's cup?
Well, I put them in my pocket.
With the other? Yes.
In fact, probably those were some of the ones that I left behind for the analysis, you know.
Yeah, well, did you give all the first lot of sugar to your horse?
Well, I think so, yes. I mean, I may have had an odd one in the corner of a pocket, but, I mean, I wouldn't know.
Well, you don't know, really, I suppose, where all the sugar came from that was in your pocket. Some from the sugar basin and some from...
Well, I might, as I say, have had an odd lump, but I think it all came from the basin that was on the table with those other...
You collect sugar for your horse anyway, aren't
you? Well, if I see a chance, like, isn't it?
Did you see anyone else taste his or her tea?
No. No, indeed.
Nobody tastes it, so no. Far as you know, no. And you didn't either.
No. I don't like it very hot, anyway.
All right, Mr. Slater, thank you. I wonder if you'd ask Lily to come in as you guide, will you?
Right, indeed.
Now then, Lily. This is a very sad business. You were actually in the cafe near them when Mrs. Slater died, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Did you see anyone else except Mrs. Slater actually taste their tea?
No.
Who laid the cups out on the table?
I did.
Do you know what cyanide of potassium is?
Yeah.
Do you know it's a poison?
Yes.
You knew it was used on the farm?
Yes, we used to use it to, well, you know, Mr. Slater and Mr. Weston. Yes. They used to kill wasps off with it.
Yes.
You know how Mrs. Slater's first husband died?
Well, no, I don't,
He wasn't poisoned, and you know that,
didn't he? Oh, I don't think so, no.
You say the family comes regularly. Do they always sit at the same table in the same positions?
Yes, always.
They always sit the same way around the table?
Yes, always.
I see, there's our signal to end the interrogation. Well, shall we try and work it out more or less as we thought it?
Yes.
Well, Ted, you look happier than we feel.
Good.
I can start it from the beginning. Slater, unless there's some bewildering sleight of hand, seems too obvious and not to have done it. Though he did make the one remark that attracted us to him when he said I couldn't smell it without knowing that it was a smelling poison. So we are inclined to go for Jack Weston because he is the only one who had the chance to administer the poison after the cups had been switched. And if it was intended to kill Mrs. Slater, he is the one who can have done it then.
And that's your considered opinion?
Yes.
Well, you're 100% wrong. David Slater was the guilty party, and you have, in fact, picked out the clue that gave him away, the fact that he mentioned that he wasn't able to smell the bitter almonds. Exactly what happened was this. David Slater came prepared to kill his wife with potassium cyanide. He arrived with his left-hand pocket full of perfectly innocent sugar lumps and his right-hand pocket containing several treated sugar lumps containing, in the middle, potassium cyanide crystals. Now, when he took the sugar basin from Galloway and McCready, he put over the top, quite simply, without anybody seeing him, several sugar lumps from his right-hand pocket. In other words, several poisoned sugar lumps. He knew that only two people took sugar, himself and his wife. Then he began to dish out the sugar, and he gave five lumps to his wife. His wife objected because his hands were dirty. This he largely suspected, but it wouldn't have mattered either way. So he took her cup, took out the five, and left one in his own cup, a new cup that he got for himself. Are you with me?
Yes.
He then puts the other four into his right-hand pocket because they were probably treated. And he went to wash his hands and he flushed away the poisoned sugar down the lavatory. Then he came back. He now had one poisoned lump of sugar in his own cup. There were several poisoned lumps of sugar still in the basin. Jack Weston served five lumps of sugar from the top of the basin to Martha. And it was 100-1 that at least one of them would be a treated one, which in fact proved to be the case. David had no intention of drinking his own cup of tea until he knew what was happening to Martha. He was hoping, as indeed happened, that the smell of the pear drops from the nail varnish would kill the smell of bitter almonds, and such proved to be the case. As soon as she began to feel ill, he went to her assistance, and he helped largely to knock the table over. Then, and this was another clue, instead of being distraught and helping his wife, he scrabbled on the floor and started picking up all the sugar lumps which he put into his right-hand pocket. He then felt ill again and was escorted to the lavatory. And once again, all the poisoned sugar lumps were flushed down the lavatory. He still had a lot of sugar lumps which were pure in his left-hand pocket. And that was how he did it, so that when he handed the sugar lumps from his left-hand pocket over to Galloway and MacReady, they were all clear. The other clue was, of course, that he did take so much trouble to collect all the sugar lumps after they'd been tipped off the table.
Yes. Well done.
John Arlott, F.R. Buckley, and Robert Fabian were the panel in Poison in the Afternoon, a problem in crime detection from the BBC series Guilty Party. The play was written by Edward J. Mason and the program produced by Tony Schreien.